Kane and Company is adult in nature and is not suitable for all audiences. The content of this program is one that a truly free society would not attempt to censure or suppress.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome into Kane and Company, you and me on the radio. Until noon time today. Let's say good morning to all police and fire personnel, civil servants, healthcare employees, and of course, good old number 41. Yes, Don is here. She's going to be here, and she's going to be keeping me out of trouble. Of course, she strolls in about 3 minutes before noon, before airtime. You realize I'm going to have to talk to her about that. I don't understand what it is. Whispering bells. All right, you're me on the radio. And to my left, your right, as you look at the radio, is Auntie Donna. Good morning, Ms. Donna. Hold on a minute. Why isn't your mic working? Oh, I know why. Hold on. No, I don't. Okay, hold on. Get the other one for a second, okay? For some reason, Mike is not. All right. There we go. Now you can say good morning.
Good morning.
There we are.
Much better.
I don't know why that other mic's not working.
I don't
all
know.
Right. All right. It was doing fine a minute ago.
They must not have used it this morning.
No, that's right. Okay. Yeah. 508-222-1320, telephone number to call. 508-222-1320 if you'd like to be on the line with us. And I got a couple of things going on this morning. 10 o'clock this morning, I'm going to be talking to an old friend of mine, Ken Bell, who's the sports director for Channel 6 in Providence. And he's going to be on with us just for a little while. We're going to chat a little bit about it because that poor guy cannot hold a job.
Oh, he's been there for what? 300 years?
Yeah. I think he's been at Channel 6 for 35 years.
That's wow.
That's amazing. And he did a couple of years at Channel 10, but we'll talk about that. So,
sure.
So guy never ages, never changes. He just very cool. And then 11 o'clock this morning, we have the king, the doo-wop king of all kings, Guido from Guido and the Doo-Woppers. He will be on here talking about a fundraiser they're going to be doing pretty soon. And what's happening with him in the doo-wop community. Should be pretty cool, and we're gonna be doing that.
Yeah, a lot of young kids are liking doo-wop.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're refining it again. Yeah, it's funny. David, my son David, and Nikki both liked not only that, but they liked Sinatra stuff.
Yeah, that too.
The big band stuff, you know, Blue Blaze stuff like that. You know, and that has entertained them too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about music and all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
And, Don and I were just briefly chatting before she strolls in, like, you know, the opening of the show is on. The opening of the show. And she sits down, you know, I used to do all my shows, just going in, sat down 2 seconds. And so maybe I'm getting a chance to chat a little bit with each other. You know, I'd like to visit with Donna, but obviously she's attempting to avoid that at all costs. And I was telling her that, you know, we couldn't think of anything to talk about today. There was nothing. And the two of us were racking our brains trying to think. Maybe if you had something you'd like to talk about, it's 508-222-1320. 508-222-1320. If you would like to chat about something, you know, Donna just couldn't think of anything.
No.
Did you look through your... Did you look through your little...
There's nothing. I just jotted down the California rainstorms.
Oh.
You know?
Good heavens.
I lived in California, and rain is very dangerous there because it hardly ever happens. I guess it's been happening more, though.
Yeah. They had a drought.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now they want to shut off the water, and it's pretty...
When I was there the first time it rained, I was like, God, what a bunch of pussies out here. They get all upset when it's going to rain, right? And I didn't know that it was because when it rained in California, the oil slick on the road got like slippery, like worse than ice. So that's why it was so, because I was like, what the heck is the matter with you people? We got 10 feet of snow and, So right now it's really dangerous out there, and that dam that's about to break or
what
was going to be.
What did you say? What a bunch of what? Did you, never mind. Never mind. And now the what?
The dam.
Yeah, the dam.
The biggest, tallest
very
dam
serious.
In the country. Very,
very
serious.
Very serious.
They say that they got it okay though. How can they make that okay?
I don't know. I don't know. It seemed to me, I'm thinking to myself. when I first saw it, I thought, well, block off the water that's coming down that path, fix the road. You know, because
the sinkhole developed in the middle
pour
of the
stuff in the sinkhole.
Yeah.
And it'll run up. But of course, not realizing the tons and tons and tons and tons of water that.
Obviously, 100% full.
Unbelievable.
It's 100% full.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not now. Now they've drained a lot of it off. Yeah. But it was tough. So we were. And then, of course, on. What day was it? Thursday or Friday? The press conference, was it?
Oh, the press conference.
Was that third?
You don't really want to talk about that, do you?
Well,
isn't it scary?
All kidding aside, it did get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that we were looking at somebody who really was out of touch.
Oh yeah.
Regardless of, you know, aliens and immigrants and just the basics
out of touch.
He himself is out. There's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got me nervous.
Let me just say, not
get me nervous that anything's going to really happen as a result, but this whole struggle that's going to go on now as a result of this stuff, that's what's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It could be that he's just being told really weird stuff by his advisors.
Well, he's not being told what he should be doing, but I don't think it sinks in. I watched him deal with there was a Jewish reporter who was asking about anti-Semitism mm-hmm. within the country, not from him.
Yeah.
Within the country.
Yes.
His reply was that he was the least anti-Semitic person you'll ever know. Okay, fine. And then the guy never got to his question because he had a question and he never got to it because Trump jumped on about, I thought it was going to be a nice question, but what does that mean, a nice question? He said, okay, just sit down.
Well, he's trying to demonize the press. And if anybody stands up and asks a question that he can actually understand and answer, it's nice. If people ask him, like, tough questions about things, especially he doesn't know, like governing, you know, it's not nice.
CBC is, yeah.
Oh, wasn't that classic?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My son said maybe he could hire me for a person to go and talk to the Congress because they're mostly white and I'm white, so like we should be friends.
Would work. Or here's the other thing you could do. I think this would be, you know how they always have some, well, he doesn't, but they usually have somebody signing. You know, when someone makes a speech, you know, they have somebody there that signs for the deaf.
No,
right?
He's never had one.
Well, what he could do is he could hire you, right? And you stand next to him. And then somebody asks him a question, and then you turn to him and explain it simply to him.
Yeah.
What they're talking about.
Yeah, really. Really, it's very sad.
And then he could answer.
Or not, because.
Or not. So it really did make me tense. And I've never felt, from the beginning, first, of course, everybody thought he'll never get elected. He's a nut burger, yada bum, yada bum. Uh-huh. People aren't going to let this happen. Uh-huh. Surprise.
Yeah.
So that was, but still I went, we lived through so many different foolishness.
This is the most foolishness.
Yeah, we lived through Nixon.
Yeah.
Well, Nixon had an enemies list that was quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
He had an enemies list. He had people audited by the IRS. He broke into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. Of course, Watergate.
Yep. Yeah.
He had a vice president who was indicted on bribery and all kinds of payoff stuff. He stepped down. It was a horror. And now, somebody said yesterday on one of the shows I was watching that Trump is saying out loud what Nixon thought.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It is pretty scary. And he's missing all kinds of really good people for his cabinet.
He can't get people to get on board, which is, that's a good sign.
Well, yeah.
This guy, Howard, who decided not to go to the NSA, had a list of stipulations, and they wouldn't acquiesce.
Two stipulations.
Yeah, were.
Get rid of Steve Bannon on the NSA lifetime membership.
Yep.
And that he, Howard, would be the only person that would speak to Trump about anything.
Directly.
And it would be directly to him in the same room, you know.
Right.
And they couldn't do those two things.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely people around him who are really setting him up.
Yeah, it's Steve Bannon. He's the puppet. He's the puppet
him
master.
And others. And that's guy Steve Miller. Is he Miller?
No.
Oh, you didn't see Miller? Oh, my God. He was the one that said that the president will not be questioned.
Oh.
You didn't see this?
No.
He was on was it Meet the Press was it Meet the Press or the Today Show? And he went on and he just said, you know, we're doing what we're doing, and the media's not going to be having us. And he talked about the courts. He said they're not three equal branches, and the president will not be questioned.
Wow.
And the only thing this guy lacked when you see him on TV is a brown shirt. That was the only thing he lacked.
But you know he has one on psychologically.
He has one under his suit. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And a swastika underwear on, probably. It was interesting because, was it McCain who referred to him as the 33-year-old? That's how McCain referred to this guy, as the 33. This kid's 33 years old, has no idea what the world is
None
like.
Of them have any idea. None of his people who are around him know how to govern. They don't know how the
They don't know how government works.
How
they
this
don't know
government
what, yeah,
works.
Yeah, they don't know how it works. They don't understand.
No.
But, you know, the other thing that's come to me, though, is the brilliance of our founding fathers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to talk about that and how they are going to save us from destruction. Stay tuned. Telephone number to call, 508-222-1320.
That's good. Now we can know how they're going to save us from destruction without having to have a break first.
Well, this is the thing. You know, yeah, it's exactly, you know, it's really amazing to me that that these people put together this checks and balances and this system that they couldn't possibly have known, for instance, what media development would be like. The mass media, there was no saying, you know, you had Benjamin Franklin printing up pamphlets. That was it, you know, and town criers.
Yep.
And early throws of Pony Express, which was just people on horses bringing notes and stuff.
Did you ever watch the show Ancient Aliens?
No.
I try not to. My son loves it. But this is reminding me of the ancient alien thing. Like perhaps back when they were doing the Constitution, perhaps aliens were channeling through them what was going to happen in the future. I mean, of course, I don't believe that, but it almost seems like that could have been happening in some way. Because, yeah, how could they have known? How could they have developed such an amazing, ingenious
one of the things that contributed to that, I'm believing, is the fact that they were coming from a monarchy.
Right.
And they knew about the power of the king.
Okay.
And they knew that if the king don't like it, it don't happen.
Okay.
And that was one of the things, of course, one of the major things that brought them here to say enough of this.
Yeah.
Well, not brought them here, but they decided enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Boston Tea Party and all that jazz.
Okay. Now, my history is very weak.
Yeah.
But the people who did the Constitution were far away from the people who originally came here from with the king and everything.
Not that far, no.
Not that far.
No. Okay. The Constitution was written by people who had decided that. That's why George Washington they were going to call him that office king.
Oh.
And he didn't want king because they were trying to get away from a king. And that's why they wrote what they did.
Oh, then that's how they knew them.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Pilgrims came in, 1620, something like that?
Right.
And then this was 1776.
Yeah, see, to me, since young people never listen to their elders, it's kind of surprising to me that a group that far from the initial emotion of
but
having lived under a king.
But it's not all that far when you think of it. Well, I mean, now it's nothing, but in those days it was, I guess, a ways. But
yeah, because think of the communication and everything. They didn't have what we have now. And so I guess those particular people were taught well by their relatives, their older relatives.
Yeah, so it's like, what, 150 years or something
like
that.
That's a long time.
I guess it is a long time, but in the meantime, they were under the thumb of a king.
Right.
And, you know, taxation without representation, blah, blah, blah. So, so it's very interesting that that this stuff would be going on.
Mm-hmm. The scary thing is that the Constitution can be amended.
Well, no. I mean, it can, but you've got to... That's another thing that they did. Not only the Founding Fathers, but subsequent governments have done is to make it very tough.
Oh, it's very tough, but it can be done.
It can, but he, as an example, is not going to have the votes to get that done.
Yeah, more and more people are jumping off of that ship.
And they are. And it's going to be very interesting to watch how this plays out because the Republicans have a lot to lose here.
Oh,
a lot to lose.
Yes.
And the other thing you can look to is midterm elections, because it is possible that Democrats will pick up some more seats.
Yeah, there are over 400 congressional seats are going to be up for grabs. That's amazing.
Yeah,
and at this time, when it's needed.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's very possible that he'll step on enough toes that people will change their vote.
Yeah, well, a lot of Republicans now. There was a guy on Fox yesterday who gave this like maybe 8 to 10 minute thing about the present situation and the lying and all kinds of stuff. And he's on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one, I can't remember his name, I didn't write it down, but I was transfixed. And all I could think of was, Trump doesn't ever believe anything until he sees it like on Fox News. And he never remembers that he said anything or did anything until he sees the tape on Fox News of him doing it.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, maybe this will be a breakthrough in some way.
Well, that was funny because one of the things he did in the press conference that made me giggle is he said how Fox and Friends was the show. And, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. He's endorsing a television show over the other television shows and the other networks.
Uh-huh.
Him and Kelly Conway need to have this conversation. He's not supposed to be doing that either.
No.
Which is, it made me giggle, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, go to somebody that's not telling you what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want.
Yes.
We want you to go to somebody that's not telling us.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, that Kellyanne is just... There are no words. well, there are, but I can't say them on the radio.
Oh, sure. Yeah, those you can't say. You say every other freaking word. Yeah.
Sloppy prostitute.
I know. And she's supposed to be keeping me out of trouble. And instead, she's giving me all kinds of trouble.
Oh.
508-222-1320. Come on, don't make us... just talk to ourselves. 508-222-1320. I want to find out from you what's going on and see if we can learn something from you. At 508-222-1320. So that's all you have nothing to say except
just
about
little
that.
Bits.
Yeah.
Just little bits of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Of the fine-tuned machine, that was particularly humorous. Did you just shock yourself to death?
I did.
Are you all right?
Yeah, that's why the mic's not working.
What is that? Booby. Oh, jeez.
Okay, well, that answers that question.
What brain surgeon did that?
Well, it may have gotten caught in that. We're talking about a mic that didn't work this morning, Donna's mic, and I just found out why. Okay, I'm
sorry. It
made
such a little zap noise.
Well, that's because I got zapped. Okay. 508-222-1320. If you'd like to hop on the line, 508-222-1320. And Donna and I are talking 10 o'clock this morning. Ken Bell will be on the air with us. And at 11, it's Guido the Doo-Wop-a. Guido.
Yeah, okay. I want to find out his secret. How has he been on Channel 6 for 35 years?
Yeah, I know. Either, you know, in the old days, we used to say you're either incompetent and get to stay.
Or you know something
about
somebody.
You have pictures.
Yeah.
Gotta have pictures. Uh-huh. Yeah, very cool. All right. So we were talking about the whole deal with Trump.
Yeah, and he doesn't believe anything. I heard on TV this morning as I was doing my morning routine, which is really not much, that his approval rating last night was 40%, which is very low.
Yeah.
This morning it's 38% after the big rally.
Well, yeah,
and
but
everything.
That's fake news.
Oh, that's fake news. That's true.
News.
That was MSNBC. Yeah. Yeah. They're very fake.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah.
fake.
Although I've been going back and forth to Fox. Because I don't want to just get one-sided stuff. And it's interesting to see what they don't talk about.
It is. But you know what happened yesterday? It was so strange. They had a news conference on. Who's the guy that looks like a turtle?
Oh, Krauthammer?
No. Many of them look like turtles, I guess. Anyway, there was somebody doing a news conference.
Looks like a turtle. On and I'm guessing. Okay.
Anyway, so he's giving his news conference and everything, yeah. And they had talked it up and everything on MSNBC and everything, and so the time comes, the time is going, and I'm not seeing that. So I turn to Fox. Fox has it on.
The news conference.
Yeah, CNN has it on, but MSNBC never broadcast it.
Never broadcast what?
The news conference that this turtle the turtle was giving. He's a guy. He's a congressman, and he looks like a turtle.
Oh, McConnell.
Maybe.
Yeah, the guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Got a weird looking face.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, and if you didn't turn the station, you didn't see it.
So Fox didn't carry it.
Yeah, Fox did.
Oh yeah, for MSNBC.
And CNN did. Yeah. MSNBC didn't.
Yeah.
After they promoted it and everything.
Yeah.
It's really strange, and I'm kind of happy about Marco Rubio's revenge. Because he's on the committee that is investigating the Russian connection. And he took so much abuse from Trump during that campaign.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was really
Well, it's
really
funny
bad.
Because he came back pretty good, though. He's got a career in stand-up, Rubio.
Marco does,
yeah. He does. He has a career potential in stand-up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's funny because I heard this morning, too, that they had a meeting with Comey from the FBI.
Yes, yeah.
And that both sides appeared to be okay when
uh-huh.
they came out of the meeting.
Uh-huh.
Rubio was in that meeting,
yeah.
And he seemed to be okay. Because, you know, Comey hasn't endeared himself to a lot of people with some of the stuff that he did, but the Democrats, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening.
Comey was another one that was used. Like, it's so hard to know
You can't say he's huge. He should know better. He should have known better.
Well,
that's
why there was something. He was threatened or something because, yeah, he knows better. Yeah,
I don't know what that's about. We're going to have to find out because that was really a dumb move.
Oh.
No matter whose side it was.
Yeah.
And so that was really embarrassing. 508-222-1320, telephone number to call. You and me on the radio until noontime today. Auntie Donna is here. We'll call the show Kane and Company. And if we are lucky, my computer will kick over and we'll have spots to play.
Or not.
I'm
just as happy with no spots.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah.
I just keep going.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like a
yeah,
dog
yeah.
after a bone.
Good thing you're not a leopard. Okay, go ahead.
Evidently, I heard this morning that someone has said, you know, in the morning I can't, like, write everything down, but there is good evidence, evidently, maybe from the Marco meeting the other day, that Flynn was paid $40,000 to appear on RT, which I call Russian TV. I don't know really what the RT stands for, but it's a Russian TV station. So that's very interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of people have been. Well, Mr. Exxon, our Secretary of State, was given the I Love You award of ever from Russia last year.
Hmm.
You know? And now he's. So it's just so interesting.
Well,
to me.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, now Tillerson was went to speak with NATO. Not Tillerson, Pence.
Yes.
Went to talk to NATO, and
yes.
he has basically disavow the stuff that the president has said.
Always. Yeah, he always does.
Well, I don't know if he does. I mean, I can't imagine what's going on in his head.
Well, he's probably hoping for an accident.
Of course, he was very late last night. There was a report that he was in the White House waxing the stairs.
Yeah. He's much more presidential than Trump.
You know, this
but
is
he's more dangerous, I think, than Trump.
Well, this is interesting because it has to do. This whole thing has to do with imagery, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. Really interesting.
Well, that's how America rolls. Images.
Yeah, and how people deal with you, and what people think about you, mm-hmm. and
based on
and
how you look,
how you handle
yourself.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. So you can be. Well, that's how Hitler, came into power.
Yeah, you know it is, and I am not suggesting in any way that. That Trump is a Hitler of any kind. I don't believe him to be.
I don't think he's smart enough.
I just don't believe. I think he's not terribly bright, but I don't believe that he has an agenda
other
beyond
than himself.
His own short-sighted right.
Yeah.
Love me. But this is how that country found itself in the trouble it was in.
Yes, exactly.
Remember that Hitler came to power blaming anybody and everybody for the economic problems in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That was his deal.
Yep.
And it was all the Jews, and then it was the retarded people have to go, and then it was the mentally ill have to go, and then it was the gays have to go.
The gypsies.
The gypsies have to go.
Yep.
So understand, as people are making these straw dogs of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Building a coalition of people that are going to destroy your world, destroy as you know it.
As we know it, yeah.
If you don't get a clue.
That's why, I'm very tired of the Democrats trashing the Republicans now, because that's not the way to get unity and cooperation with it. Not all Republicans are idiots, and not all Democrats are smart by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting very, very annoying to me. We have to start thinking in terms of unity.
Yeah, but here's the problem with what you're saying. I agree, by the way, that this political thing drives you nuts. Well, it's the Republicans have done that, the Democrats have done that. Yeah, that's crazy. But here's the thing. It is important at this point, I think, for Democrats or whoever, because they've got to be attacking the Republicans, because it was the Republicans, these Republicans, who need to come to the other side, who need to come over, so that now the Democrats will have the votes they need in Congress to stop some of this.
Okay, yeah.
And I agree, they shouldn't be doing it that way. They should be...
That's not how you do it.
Right. They should be doing it in a way, but that's what they're trying to do.
Well, the Democrats are so dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to be a Democrat.
Yeah.
But then I got smart. No.
Yeah.
I was a Democrat.
That's what you say.
Yeah. I was a Democrat because my family was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how most people are Catholic.
And,
Yeah. So, I'm a registered independent.
Yeah.
Or unenrolled, as they say, in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But,
there's
just
no
not
doubt,
the way to get somebody on your
and
side.
And here's the funny part about this. It's like knowing a guy who's a nut burger of some kind, and his wife is the only one who can control him.
Mm-hmm.
Or his wife can get through to him.
Uh-huh.
Or his wife at least rolls her eyes behind his back.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to jump ugly with the wife. You want to try to cajole the wife into cajoling him to do whatever it is.
Put down the grenade.
Put down the grenade. No, don't let it go. Don't let it go. And that's the problem. But what's happening is things are becoming so odd, so unbelievable, that the Republicans are being forced really to rethink their entire deal.
Well, unless they want to go bye-bye until 2018, they've got to do something.
I mean, this is going to be really interesting, because the midterm elections can change a lot.
Oh, totally. Total reversal.
And somebody said on TV way back that
we were presuming that he was going to finish his run the first 4 years. We were presuming that he was going to finish. And people are already beginning to say he's not liking this at all.
No, he's not. I think he's actually trying to get fired. Because why else would he do that? I mean, of course, I guess, I think he's pretty mentally ill in many ways.
I honestly believe that there's something going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, paranoia is a disease. I mean, it's a mental illness. Mm-hmm. Nixon had it. Mm-hmm. Most politicians have a tinge of it.
And there's usually with paranoia, there's other stuff too, like schizophrenia with paranoid overtones and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's the possibilities are frightening if you let yourself go that way.
And I'm wondering about the people who have voted for this guy who went in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and voted for him. I wonder if anybody's listening to us right now who is now rethinking what they did.
There was one person so far on Facebook who announced, I was a Republican, I voted for Trump, and now I see, and I'm not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, another thing in this country is you got to be right. People think that if you get new information, you know, people think you're flip-flopping when you get new information that tells you that you've been dead wrong about whatever it is, whatever pet thing you believed or needed to believe, and then you change your mind. No, that's intelligence when you do that.
Mm. Yeah, the ability to be able to say, oops, wait a minute, oh, yeah, I made a mistake.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, and I think that more Republicans are doing that. There'll be a base that won't do that. Those people will be like the traveling dead fans, you know, who go to the dead concerts.
Uh-huh.
They'll be going to the Trump rallies, you know, for the rest of their lives, as long as he lives.
And yeah, it's really astounding to watch and to listen to.
Uh-huh.
And it's too bad that people cannot bring themselves to say, "Hey, wait a minute, this was." Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really interesting to me, in all of my life, I have never seen a situation where, and there's been great, great divide in this country for years and years.
Absolutely. This is
But I've never experienced where you voted for Nixon, our friendship's over.
No,
seen it.
Yeah.
People are not talking to family members. They are walking away from friendships.
Yep.
They said, no, I can't do it. No, mm-hmm. you're gone. Mm-hmm. No, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stunning.
It is. It's understandable, though, too.
I don't know how. Tell me, because I don't know.
Well, if all of a sudden you see a person that you think you've known for years and years, and all of a sudden you see them for who they are, and they are racist, and they are discriminatory and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have in common with that person anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe just on that. I mean, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And it's not that you hate them. It's that you just don't have anything in common. I have absolutely nothing in common with a racist.
Right.
I can't go
there. I guess I'm getting tied up in the fact that people have been friends for so many years, and then
because like you say, it's been going on for years. All of this has been bubbling underneath the racism and the xenophobia and all that kind of stuff. It's something that you don't really say because you know in your heart that it's wrong, but that's how you feel, and then all of a sudden it's okay. This crazy man running for president says it's okay, and during the campaign He was demeaning all of the other candidates, who really did look like a sorry bunch, you know, the clown car crew.
Uh-huh.
But then it's okay, and I can say I don't like these or those people, and I don't have to worry because a lot of people feel the same way I do.
Mm.
It's terrible.
It is terrible, and it's really too bad. It's funny. I had a friend of mine who was a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I should say is a Trump supporter. And we got into several conversations. And she hated her brother. And her brother was a racist jerk. He was a complete moron.
Mm-hmm.
And who was terrible to her. I didn't treat her well. And I said to her, you realize that your brother would be a Trump supporter. You leave my brother out of this.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'm just telling you, look who's on your side.
Wow.
Right.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It was like my irrational belief that died very slowly, that somehow Bernie would become president. I was totally convinced of that.
Yeah.
No one could talk me down.
Yeah.
No, I could see the numbers and I could, I knew everything. No, God is going to come down and make him president.
Yeah, yeah. But God doesn't vote.
And that's the same thing with the people who got locked into Trump originally.
Yeah, but, and like you said, I guess what we're seeing here is who these people really are. The thing, the number one quality, I'll say quality, facet of these people really is that they are frightened to death.
That's the only way you can be a racist.
This is all fear. I'm not even going to go to racism. I'm just going to, just the fear alone.
Well, that's the easiest one for me to use as an example.
Just the fear. They are so afraid.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure really of what. They should be very afraid now.
Yes. Yes. Now now you can be afraid.
508-222-1320. 508-222-1320. You and me on the radio until noontime today, okay?
Nation's Garage has been an established member of the community since 1919 and is a proud sponsor of Kane & Company. Nation's has serviced North Attleboro and surrounding areas for close to a century, taking care of all your automotive needs. Located at 321 North Washington Street in North Attleboro, this third-generation community business is also the area's official AAA representative. For more information, visit their website at www.asiansgarage.com or call 508-695-6561.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people.
All righty then, 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. One of the other things I wanted to mention before we get off onto other things is Monday. Monday is a holiday.
Monday is Day. I hear that.
Is what?
I hear that Trump actually believes that it was invented for him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Right. President's Day. Yeah, we all had the day off on Monday. It also happens to be February 20th. It also has to be the 14th anniversary of the station nightclub fire.
Oh, God, yes.
And I just wanted to mention it to you. Listen, I know you hear about this all the time. I know you hear about 41s all the time and hear me reference my sons. And I don't want to bore you with it and say, all right, Dave, enough already. But I did want to mention to you that the 14th anniversary of this fire is Monday. And it's an important anniversary, not because we're going to, any of us have forgotten, but we need to remember that, we're still trying to build a memorial to the incident. Now, as I have said before, we don't need the memorial to remind of our loved ones. We can visit graves for that. The people who were so severely injured and maimed don't need a memorial to remind them they have mirrors. This memorial, to me, is more important that we are going to remind people what happens when elected and appointed public officials, especially safety officials, don't do their job. People die. People become injured. Children lose parents. Parents lose children. And so this memorial is important for that, not as a warm and cozy thing about, oh, well, all the wonderful people, and that's all charming. But the real purpose to me for this is for people to go there or to go drive by there and be reminded of what happens when people don't do their job. So I'm going to ask you to just think about that. The Station Fire Memorial Foundation is open to your contributions. We have been able to raise enough to get the memorial built and opened, but there are maintenance costs that people don't realize. And so we would like just a few bucks, $5, a couple of bucks. Maybe you could help out to make this happen, to understand that, it's so easy to kind of go, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. You know, I mean, when I do my 41 talks, I'm in colleges and half these kids were barely born. I mean, they were like 4 and 5 years old when this happened. Mm-hmm. How long ago this is.
Yeah.
And when you go to this site, when you leave, you're in your car and you see it in your rearview mirror. And the further you drive away, mm-hmm. the smaller it gets in the mirror. And eventually it disappears. And we want to make sure that people don't forget what happened there. Not that you don't forget the people who passed, not that you don't forget the idea, but that we don't want you to forget what happens if people don't do their job. So I'm hoping that you will do something, make your contribution known, just a small contribution, fine. All this month, my book, 41 Signs of Hope, is being sold at Barnes & Noble in Smithfield, in Rhode Island, the two Barnes & Nobles, and the two Barrington books. And there's some copies of Unlikely Story, and all the money is going to the Station Fire Memorial Foundation. Charlie Hall and I are doing a Bermuda cruise, and money from that is going to the Station Fire Memorial Foundation. So we're trying to get people to keep it erect, keep it going on, keep it happening. And I just thought I wanted to mention it to you, mm-hmm. okay? Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
The years go so quickly, don't they?
It's so weird. It's like, I can't believe it's 14 years. And on the other hand, it seems like it was last night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dichotomy of feelings here that's really...
Yeah, that happens to us all when anybody leaves. Mm. It seems like it was just yesterday and, you know...
Yeah, and so many things have happened during that time. My attempts to bring a civil rights investigation.
Really?
My attempts to speak with the FBI and the United States Attorney. And, just as an aside, I had a meeting with the United States Attorney.
Mm-hmm.
In the room was the United States Attorney, the FBI, Rhode Island State Police.
Whoa.
And a couple of other...
Did they get you for that old shoplifting thing?
Well, I told them it was just a misunderstanding. And as I sat around the table, I'm telling them what I have and telling them what I know and telling them what I believe, and everybody's writing notes. And a guy from the FBI is writing furiously, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe there's something going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that I jumped ugly about was the chief prosecutor out of the Attorney General's office in Rhode Island, who I think gave new meaning to the word incompetent. But I also felt that there was collusion there. That was my feeling. And I had felt at the end of the meeting, I felt I'd been listened to. Mm-hmm. I felt I had a good forum.
Mm-hmm.
I left. The U.S. attorney walked me to the door, thanked me for coming, said that they were going to really look into some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I left. And 2 weeks later, the guy that I complained about went to work in the U.S. Attorney's office.
Wow.
Only in America.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Wow, man.
Yeah. So it's not just in Washington, D.C.
Fox, want to come over here and watch this hen house?
Yeah. Excuse me, yeah, exactly.
Unreal.
Yeah. So anyway, so on Monday, we're all going to... remember that, we hope, and get people to do something to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You'd think that people would, but they can't see that it could happen to them.
Well, you know, they don't get it.
They don't want to see.
All that is necessary for evil to exist is for good people to do nothing.
Yeah.
That's all that's necessary.
Yeah.
And people really need to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so there. So that's what I wanted to tell you. All right, Auntie Donna.
Yes.
508-222-1320. You got some other stuff for me? I know you like to come in and just inundate me with all kinds of surprises.
Yeah. Basically, when you think you're Teflon.
Ah. Yeah.
You forget that even Teflon can be burned if it's if the heat gets high enough.
Ah. And what does this pertain to specifically?
The people who are in charge of everything right now think that they're Teflon. They don't know that they can,
Well, the funny part is that, you know, this is why you and I were laughing about it earlier, about off the air, about deciding to pick on the intelligence community.
Well, that's my theory, that he wants to, yeah, you pick on the media and you pick on the intelligence community and the military. He's picked on everybody. That's a sign that you don't want to be president.
I guess, you know, it's funny. On one hand, he talks about having the biggest military, and then, but there's budget cuts for the military in there. Hello, you know.
Yeah.
And it is, but
he's got to build his wall. There are priorities, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, which is totally unnecessary and crazy.
Well, that's the other thing, you know, that this freaking wall.
Yeah.
I heard something the other day. I almost called you. Because I heard something the other day, cracks me up. Now we have all kinds of technology. We have drones.
Uh-huh.
We have the ability to fly. We can huge tunnels. We build huge tunnels like, what's his name, El Chapo or whatever his name was. Get out of the prison.
Yeah, those are real. Yeah,
Those are real, right? Mm-hmm. All these things.
Yep.
The other day on news I saw, and they found, are you ready for this? At the wall. At one section of the wall,
yeah,
they caught people with drugs,
yeah,
and a catapult.
Really?
A catapult. Now, if you don't know what a catapult is, maybe you're thinking to yourself, "What's a catapult?" You've seen these in the Monty Python movies, for instance, where they would have these. They would put stuff in the catapult and pull it back, and then release it, and it would fling back up and toss whatever's in the bucket up to the top of the castle or over the castle wall, and that's with it. And so now they found they're tossing the drugs with a catapult
over
the wall to people waiting on the other side with a truck.
Wow. Wow, really?
I swear.
That's hysterical.
I was really laughing. And I almost called you. I was going to call you.
Yeah, you should have.
Did you see this?
I didn't.
But I got distracted.
That's
and I didn't go.
Awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that could be your job, the catapult loader?
Well, the fact that this guy thinks that this wall is going to do anything. I mean, it's image.
I don't think he ever thought that. I think that somebody told him, you know, if you tell people you're going to build a wall between those evil immigrants that you've already painted with a terrible brush, then more people will vote for you. And it was true. People just love the wall. They love the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they still do.
Yeah.
My cousin down in West Virginia told me, well, she's not, I called her my cousin all my whole life.
Yeah.
But she was my grandmother's state ward. Anyway, she said that if Hillary gets in, she's going to let all kinds of dangerous people in here to kill us. And that's what she believed that.
Oh, yeah.
And she still does.
Yeah.
She still believes that.
Well,
that's why the wall went over so well.
Oh, my God. At Christmas time, someone said to me, I went to a Christmas party. And someone said to me, they were late coming. He said, and there were police surrounding a church in East Greenwich.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, what was going on down there? He said, I don't know what happened. He said, but you know, he says, ISIS is going to attack every Catholic church in the country.
Oh, my. I never heard that one.
I had not heard it either.
That's wild.
So I said, oh, they are. I said, oh. And then, okay. And so he thought, obviously, that's what was going on here. And I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
I said, I said, have you heard of fake news? Do you know what fake news? What? Fake news? I said, you know, people just put stuff out on the internet and people believe it. And that, you don't believe nothing. You don't believe nothing. And got a little upset with me.
So is he still your friend?
Well, he's related to somebody.
Okay.
And so I thought, dear Lord.
Yeah, dear Lord, indeed.
But this is exactly what we've been talking about the fear. Yeah. All of this stuff, like you said about the racism and all of this other stuff, is all about fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And usually it gets down to, if you really study people's fear, it all comes down to being a fear of death.
Does.
Don't you think?
I don't know. I'm listening to you.
Oh, well, to me, it all comes down to fear of death. And that's what the governments use. That's what the churches use to keep people under control.
Mm-hmm.
If you could die. You know, that's like the worst thing that could happen. You could die.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the basis of all fear.
Yeah.
Is losing yourself.
Yeah.
Using what you think is yourself. Losing your body.
And also,
physical
form. But also losing what you perceive to be your life. I mean, I don't mean your physical life. I mean your life.
Right.
Your everyday.
Yes.
Up in the morning at 5 or
and going
whatever,
to the job you hate.
Going to the job you hate. Yes. And you know, and paying the taxes you resent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, seeing the relatives you'd like never to talk to
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely. That's life.
Things.
That's what you want to protect.
So you want to protect this existence.
That you think is your
that
existence.
That you perceive you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and I don't understand. And, you know, one of this person I was telling you about, well, it's not about her brother. This woman has a perfectly fine job. I mean, she's self-employed. Minds her own business, has no pogrom. Mm-hmm. She had some health problems, but she's doing good. Why people perceive that she, for instance, is going to be damaged, hurt, what her fear is, that she's going to be damaged or hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
By this.
And it becomes by someone or something, and fear is a little bit dispelled by the illusion that something can stop that from happening, prevent it from happening, whatever, and then you vote for Trump.
I would have expected this person to have no interest, not to believe they even had a dog in the fight.
That's the thing. Everybody's got a dog in the fight. If they look at it, it's too frightening for them to look at it, though. Yeah, it makes them vulnerable. It makes them even more afraid.
Mm. Well, 508-222-1320. What, you've got nothing to say to us? You have nothing to offer? You're sitting back and you're listening to Don and I getting a chance to vent all of what we believe is right, and you have nothing to say.
Makes me feel good when I vent.
Yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, we've lost a couple of callers because they have been challenged on what they thought, and it's made them nervous.
And that's okay.
Nervous.
That's
it is okay.
That's happened to me.
Yeah, except that it's too bad because they should have a chance not only to speak, but a chance to be dissuade from their fear.
Dissuade from their fear. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You're trying to help them. But that isn't what happens. What happens is people clam up. They get nervous.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear it.
Well, when I had my irrational belief that Bernie Sanders was going to be the next president.
I didn't want to tell you, Donna. I didn't want to tell you.
People told me all the time. But, that's crazy, Donna. You know, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe anything but that he was going to be president somehow. And it was such a relief when I could let go of that and realize, you know, this is an irrational belief. Because I haven't had too many irrational beliefs in my life.
Oh, I think you've had plenty.
What ones?
Oh,
please,
trapped in the 60s someplace.
Is that an irrational belief?
Oh, please. Oh,
no,
my God.
No, seriously.
Oh, my Lord.
How is that an irrational belief?
Oh, my Lord.
Belief?
Please. Oh,
why,
my God.
That I believe that it, way in, deep inside, all people are beautiful creations of God. Is that an irrational belief?
There you go.
Oh, you think it's an irrational one. Belief?
That's number one.
Well, no. I guess I don't have just one irrational
crazy,
belief.
Man. Oh, baby. That's a great, great man.
You know, everybody thinks I'm stoned all the time.
Do they?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Because of your irrational beliefs?
No. I was really stoned, nobody believed I was really stoned.
Yeah, when she thought Bernie was going to get elected, everybody's going, oh, man, don't let her drive.
I hate being stoned. I hate drugs or anything.
But you and I have had conversations, but I'll say to you, you know, this guy is a problem here. Why? I don't see. He seems like a nice guy. I think that maybe he's just a little bit, and he's not really. Done.
Well, I still do think that Trump inside. I think
I'm not talking about him. Let's take him out of that.
We can take. Well, okay. Well, yeah. Right now.
But just generally speaking.
Yeah. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
People are the products of their childhoods. We never really outgrow our childhood, outlive our childhoods. We don't.
Yeah. Right.
None of us.
I agree. Yeah.
And so. You know, when somebody's acting a little strange or whatever, I always figure that it's some sort of childhood damage that was done.
Yeah, you do.
You know, this person isn't the person that this person could have been.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I understand that, but it's just funny to hear you, you know, be able to voice that and express that. When you know, on one level, I absolutely get it, and others, I don't. Hi, you're on WARA.
Hi, Dave. It's
Hi,
Tom.
Uncle Tom. Hey. Hi.
Do you need help?
How are you?
Are you lost? Are you lost?
No, of course. I've always been lost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to find my way back to upstate New York, and I still keep hitting welcome to New Hampshire for some reason.
What's up, baby?
Well, echoing what Donna said, I want to amend my statements around Christmas time.
Yeah.
Our president needs mega Heppel. I mean, he needs so much Heppel.
No one ever before.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. Yep. And you know, and Tom is here to offer his Heppel.
Yes.
Anything he like, yeah. That's
I'm leading a contingent of people to truck down to Washington a lot of Heppel from Bristol County.
That'll be terrific, Tom.
So any kind of donations of Heppel that, can muster up.
Good. All right, that'll be good. That'll be good.
Yeah, so I'm just listening. I'm on my way to save a lot of lives up at the American Red Cross today.
Oh, great. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, don't get pulled over with possession of Heppel. You'll be...
No, that was Dave. You said you wouldn't mention that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was only a pound of Heppel. You know, I got the Mexican rate and I sold it.
Thanks,
you know?
Tom.
Tom, you're my best friend, don't you? You know that. Yeah,
she wants to get a piece of that Heppel, baby.
Yeah, no.
Listen, I tried to offer her. I could have gotten her some baby diapers. About the truck? Did you, Tom? You hear that? The truck got hijacked.
I saw that on the news.
Truck got hijacked, and it was full of $90,000 worth of baby diapers.
God, it might have been my daughter.
And then I think I saw. Did I see that, Tom? That they opened a storefront and they were selling them.
And then he left his truck within like 4 blocks of the owner of the company and said he could come and pick up the truck. Unbelievable. You just watching the news, we have the most bizarre news I've ever, watched or listened to.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, well, listen, this is a new world, Tom, and it's people like you we look for. To help us.
Heppel, right. Yeah, a final note, for if anybody wants to have an enjoyable evening, you should go and see The Great Father Misgivings.
Yeah, Tom came the other night to see Father Misgivings.
Isn't that awesome, Tom?
Tom and Diane.
Oh, my Lord. He's just amazing, you know.
So. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was great. Absolutely great.
All right. I got
to
take a break. Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Thank
you. Talk to you later.
Attleboro.
WARA.
Has been an established member of the community since 1919 and is a proud sponsor of Cain & Company. Agents has served North Attleboro and the surrounding areas for close to one century. taking care of all your automotive needs. Located at 321 North Washington Street in North Attleboro, this third-generation community business is also the area's official AAA representative. And for more information, visit their website at agentsgarage.com or call 508-695-6561.
Kane & Company is adult in nature and is not suitable for all audiences. The content of this program is one that a truly free society would not attempt to censure or suppress.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome into the second hour of Kane & Company. You and me on the radio, Auntie Donna is here. I want to say good morning to all police and fire personnel, civil servants, healthcare employees, and of course, good old number 41. All righty, all right, all right. Now we're going to make our call.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I'm trying to come up with words stand for HEPL.
Oh, yeah. Like,
so that we can print them on T-shirts.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah.
The community to HEPL.
Yeah, we could get some HEPL from people. And
we should really explain why.
We will. Sometime. We'll explain that. Yeah, stay tuned, all right? We'll explain that. Stay tuned. 508-222-1320.
Good morning.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, a guy who...
Huh? You just walk in and take a curtain call right away.
That's it, baby. I don't mess around. Here's a guy, the only guy in radio that can't hold a job in television. Unbelievable. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Dave, great to be with you this morning. Terrific.
Thank you. Ken, this is my friend Donna.
Hey, Ken.
Donna? Good morning.
Yeah, Donna is sort of in charge of the show. We bring her in to keep me out of trouble.
I thought that would probably be one of the requirements.
Yeah.
He needs supervision. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, Ken, of course, I feel foolish saying who he is because everybody knows Ken Bell, who has been at Channel 6, the sports director at Channel 6, for how many years?
At Channel 6 I'm in my 35th year.
Unbelievable.
And I'm not exactly sure how that happened. Just one year leads to the next, and pretty soon you turn around and say, wow.
I know, isn't that something?
I've seen a lot.
Yeah, and you've been through like about 9 ownerships, haven't you?
Well, this is actually, this is the third ownership that we've had, but I've worked for 18 different news directors and about 13 different general managers. So it's been a journey.
I'm thinking you may do your job really well.
He does indeed do his job very well.
I've been blessed to be able to be. You know what was the greatest thing was when my kids were young, I was not moving from town to town. They were able to grow up in the same schools, and my daughter now teaches in the East Greenwich school system where she grew up, so that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Now, am I going to ask you, your real name, Ken Bell?
It is.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It's like Dave Kane, right?
My real name, I had the name of a famous person, and I had to change my name. My real name is Helen Hayes. No, yeah, Dave Kane's my name, and but people say that all the time. You know, what's your real name? You know, and of course, now this is amazing. Now you worked at Channel 10 for a couple of years, right?
I grew up in Colorado and went to University of Colorado, Boulder High School, and grew up in Boulder and had a great life there. But then I worked in Denver for about 2 years. Doing weekend television and morning radio on KOA. And, waiting each week to be on the air for the weekend, it was just so hard to gain any kind of consistency. So I went to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is a smaller market, but I worked 6 days a week, and that's where I think I really kind of came into my own. And then a fellow I worked with in Denver is a weekend sports. I was a weekend sports guy. He was the weekend anchor man. Got the job at Channel 10. His name was Vince Gibbons.
Oh, I remember Vince, yeah.
Vince
sure.
was there for yep. a couple of years, and when Tony Canigliaro was taken by ABC out to San Francisco, they were trying to groom him for a higher job. That opened up the weekend job with Chris Clark. And so Vince called me up and said, why don't you take a look at it? And I really liked it. I loved working with Chris Clark, had a great time with him. And so I worked 2.5 years between 77 and 79 at Channel 10. And then Vince and his wife moved to Milwaukee, where he was an anchor, and his wife was a producer for a show called PM Magazine.
No, sure, yep, yep.
And there were like 135 of those across the country. Providence had one, and Milwaukee had one, and so I did that for 3 years.
I didn't know you had done a PM Magazine stint.
I was a co-host there for 3 years, and I enjoyed it, but I kind of got tired of doing totem pole makers and
you do a variety
of things. I kind of longed to get back into sports, and so then John Sweeney, and I'm sorry, they're making this a long story for
you. No, go ahead, because you're mentioning all the people I worked with and bringing back memories for me.
Well, did you used to work at WJAR Radio at any time?
Radio and TV I worked
for. I thought you did.
Right. So, a couple of years before you did, actually.
Right, okay. Doug White and John Sweeney were co-anchors. And then when I went to Milwaukee, Sweeney jumped over to Channel 6 as the news director and the main anchor there. And he called me up and said, how would you like to come back to Channel 6? And one thing led to another, and came back to 6, and that was 1982, and so it's been a great journey. It's been a wonderful career.
It's great. Now Sweeney ended up at CNN for a while.
He did. He was over in he was doing in the Middle East, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah, and he was famous for his temper.
John could get a little irritated. I'm trying to think of the anchor on Channel 10 that he used to work with, the woman, there was a woman co-anchor, and there was a little bit of tension.
Sarah Y?
So there you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yes. They didn't quite hit it off.
Ah.
But.
And I don't understand that, because we used to sing, no, everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sarah Y.
Now, there's a hot dog commercial in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere you'll find it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually pastry, but that's all right.
That's right. Okay.
Now, do you remember when you came to the state? Do you remember coming to my house?
I do not remember coming.
You don't
to your
remember?
House.
You don't remember coming down to the beach house? You came down and we had a cookout. Because you were here by yourself originally.
This is very sad that I don't remember that.
That's okay. We brought you down, and you weren't married.
That's right.
And
that was when I was working at Channel 10.
Yeah, and I think my ex-wife wanted to fix you up with somebody.
Now that I don't remember.
Yeah, no, nothing happened. I mean that was, of course, you know how it is. You know, these Italian women, everybody's got to be married. You know. Yeah.
You know what? As you mentioned,
not allowed to be happy.
I do believe I remember. This is starting to come back to me. Yes, the beach. When you mentioned the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, so I mean, that's when you and I met. Was then?
Right.
Was back then. And you're still talking to me after almost 40 years, which is...
Dave, you are the absolute utility player. You've been able to do everything and anything, and you've been in radio all these years. Now, you worked at WPRO, didn't you?
Oh, I went to PRO. I've been fired from some of the finest radio stations in New England. That's why you fascinate me, because 35 years in one place, I'm lucky to get 35 minutes. I actually got fired after one show at the old WKFD.
You're kidding.
I was a kid. I was like, well, I had to be 17, 16 or 17.
I see.
And during daylight, it was a daylight station.
Right.
So in the summer, of course, they didn't go off the air till 8 o'clock. So I got hired, my first paid gig on radio, with a voice like this. I got hired from 6 to 8 at WKFD. And the first day I was going, I was all excited. I'm driving down with my mother's car. I'm driving down there, and I'm listening to a New York radio station. Remember the guy called the Mad Daddy? Do you remember
him? Yeah, sure.
Oh, he was something. He rhymed everything. And
Mad Daddy.
He used to do things like, scubbly bab, scubbly biz, do you know what a banana split is?
Oh,
well, let me tell you what you can get. And he had a big reverb. And I heard him say, you're doing it in the shack in the back with the Big Daddy.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, yeah. There's New York radio now. So,
yeah.
So I get to WKFD.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
And I decide, okay, and I say, you're doing it in the shack in the back with Dave Kane.
Probably didn't go too well.
I was
like one show.
I was gone.
Unbelievable.
I was gone. I think I got a call. Hi, you're on WARA.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
This is Margaret.
Oh, hi, Margaret. We'll call you back, okay? All right, honey. Thank God Margaret was going to call it back.
Yeah.
Now, Ken,
This is live radio.
We love live radio. Don't we love live radio? Now, tell me a little bit, Ken, about what you're doing now. I mean, I know you're still at Channel 6, but you just cover the Patriots, right?
Went down to the Super Bowl, and, you know, as I went through the week, and everyone says, oh, you're going to the Super Bowl, it's going to be so great, and there are really parts of it that are terrific, but the 88 hours you put in during the week trying to get everything covered because the team has different availability time for the players, and then you're doing live shows, then you have to edit everything, and then we did two half-hour specials, one Friday and one Saturday. So the workload is, it kind of dims the view of how great the event is until you get to Sunday. And when you go into the game, that NRG Stadium was spectacular. And the event is just bigger than life. And so we're sitting like maybe 15 rows from the top up in the press section there.
Wow.
But we're in the building, and wow. I would say there were about 65% Patriots fans. So they were really cheering loudly to start the game, and then nothing until near the end of the third quarter, you know, when
wow.
it rips that
yeah.
game.
Yeah, holy mackerel.
But, you know, people paid $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a ticket to get into the place.
Whew.
It's just unbelievable how much money. And then everything costs something. You know, the souvenirs are extra expensive, and everybody wants a souvenir to remember the event. But when we got to the fourth quarter and the momentum started to change, you really got the sense that you were watching history being made. And just how Tom Brady was able to, you know, the passes he completed and the way he drove the team down. And then once they got to overtime and they won the coin toss, I didn't have much doubt that they were going to win the game. Because Brady, bang, 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 and he's got them down at the one-yard line. And it was just like you were watching history.
Wow! Yeah, and you were too. It was unbelievable, amazing.
Well, then I think, you know, just looking back at it over my career, and I've had some really amazing events, and I had always pointed to 1986 when I was at Shea Stadium and the ball went through Buckner's legs.
Oh yeah,
as being one of the memories. But then the next year, Providence College beat Georgetown in Louisville to make it to the Final Four in New Orleans, so I always considered that game in Louisville as one of my highlights because it was just so unbelievable that they would beat Georgetown and go. And then, you know, there was 78. I was in at Fenway Park, and Bucky Dent hit the home run that ruined the Red Sox.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, I thought for a while maybe the Red Sox would not invite me back to cover anything because they kept losing in bad ways when I was there. But then started covering the Red Sox when they won in 2004, and then in 07 it was special because I got to go back to Denver to cover the Sox and the Rockies, and that being in my backyard there where I grew up. And then 13, then the Patriots and so forth. But I look back and say this Super Bowl, because of the magnitude of the comeback, because of the five rings now Brady has, is probably the highlight of my whole career.
Well, that's great. Now, but it's not the fun that people think it is it? I mean, covering this stuff. I mean,
well,
I know you enjoy the game, but like you were saying, I mean, how is this done? Who books your travel? Do you have to do that now?
We book our travel, and we make arrangements for the hotel. And the Houston it's like the fourth largest city in the country.
Yeah.
So it's really spread out, and there's a lot of traffic. It's like Boston at drive time. So it was interesting because the team hotel, everything was at the convention center downtown, which was
where everything else is too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
exactly. So the media center's there. Then they had the NFL Experience, which is this enormous hall with just all this memorabilia and interactive games and so forth, and fields where kids can play the Play 60 campaign. And there were so many people that wanted to go that they actually shut it off on Saturday night. There were no more tickets available to get in the place.
Geez.
So, but the team hotel was 30 minutes away, and that's where the team spoke. They had all the players available around tables every day from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then the stadium hotel was on the other end of town, 30 minutes out of downtown. Wow. So you were doing a lot of traveling around, because we did our live shots where we actually introduced our stories that we had done of the day at the stadium. But we had done the interviews at the hotel, which was the other side of town. So, and then we had to edit everything. You know, you get the interviews. I'm shooting with a camera, and Nick Coit, who I work with, also had a camera. So we were doing all these interviews. Then you have to edit them and put them together.
Now, that's an interesting point. You know, in the old, watch this, in the old days, right, Ken? There would be a cameraman.
Film.
There would be a cameraman, sometimes a producer also.
That's right.
And you would stand there in an edit booth and direct the editing, but you wouldn't do it. Now you're bringing your own camera.
Well, I can remember back in 77... actually in 76, when I was in Iowa, I did shoot some of my own film. So you go out, you shoot film, and you can only shoot, that's why you never saw many goals, because you're working with film, which is very expensive, so you really only shot the power plays, you know, when a man was down, so that you had a better chance of getting a goal. And then so you'd come back, put it in the processor, which would take 30 minutes to go through the processor and be developed at the station. And sometimes the red light would go on because one of the something had jumped off one of the reels.
Well,
so you had to go back in and put it back on. Then you get the film out, and you had to edit. You had to actually splice or cut the plays that you want
physically,
and put them together.
Yep.
Then you took them to the film chain, and the film chain put them into a camera. They had a camera shooting into a film projector, and that's how you got the thing on the air.
Wow.
Yeah, really amazing.
I just sit down at a computer. I drop all the shots that I need off a little camera card onto a timeline, send it to the computer, and then hopefully it comes up when it's needed on the. So you're right. The technology is just mind-boggling.
I used to be, you talk about being utility, I was really good at physically editing audio tape.
I'll bet.
And in those days, like film then, we did it with a razor blade.
Yeah.
Now, people listening now, younger people listening, going, what is he talking about? You know, we used to line it up in a way, queuing it up, and mark it on a diagonal, and cut it with a razor, and then put a piece of tape on it,
and then
run it through and hope that it was one of the first time that I decided I was getting a little long in the tooth in this business was when I did not know it was the first time I didn't know how to do something. And that was the digital audio, editing. And in the beginning of it, they couldn't decide which system they were going to use. Each station had a different system.
Oh.
So you'd learn digital audio like you learned, video.
Right.
And then you'd go to a station and they would have a different system. So you'd have to learn it again. Yeah. And so what happened was now the interns or the producers or whatever, they edit all that stuff now, most of it now. But it's just amazing how the world has changed. I got to tell you, the last time I played football, I didn't even get a home run. So I'm not a big sports fan. I have a lot of respect for you guys because you know all of this stuff. I mean, you used to have a statistician too, right? Have you
That's doing true. Again? Yeah, we there's this wonderful thing called downsizing. That as cable came, then the money started to disappear from the network stations and started to go to some more of the niche programming. And so then stations started cutting back in personnel.
Yep.
We had 12 photographers for most of my career at Channel 6, and then 6 years ago they laid off 10 of them. And so we really only have 2 photographers, and all the reporters, like myself, shoot our own video.
Yep.
So last night I went to the Shea Rogers game. Shea is undefeated. And so the basketball game, so I shot that. Then I went to the Henrik and Hope game, basketball game. Justin Mazzulla had 29 points, had a great, great game. So I shot a little of that. Then I went over to the Brown basketball game. They were playing Penn. And then I went to the Brown hockey game. They were playing Dartmouth. So then I brought all that video back to the station, and I edited that and then took some highlights off of television that Providence College was playing at Notre Dame in hockey. And so then we had the Red Sox spring training, so I had a little bit of video on that. And so you collect all this video, and you edit everything, and then you put it together, give a copy of the script to the director. You have a an audio person next to the director who opens and closes your microphones and puts all the names on the screen and the locations and that kind of thing. So it's one of the things that has appealed to me is that it is a team effort.
Yeah.
By myself, I can't do it. I need all these other people to be on top of their game for the product to be able to be produced.
Yeah, it's really terrific. And you know, the other thing you mentioned was, you know, you have a video, putting up the Chyron, what we used to call the Chyron,
right,
putting
exactly.
up all the titles. There used to be a separate guy to do that, or a woman to do that.
Well, it's interesting. I believe at Channel 10, and that they have one person kind of directing and doing the audio and putting in the supers.
Yeah.
And things are programmed in.
Oh yeah, they hate it. Coletta wants to kill somebody.
It's great when it works, but that's a lot of pressure on one person to operate everything. And if you have to change anything, that's where I understand from my friends. Frank Carpano and I are good friends.
Yeah.
Where things can go off the tracks.
Well, it's amazing. And in the morning, I happened to catch that in the morning. Well, after I watched Channel 6, of course. You know, it's funny because, you know, when I was doing some interviews, you know, I've been doing a lot of interviews in the last several years, and to see this little tiny woman show up at my house. And then she's getting the camera out and the tripod
Amazing. All
by herself. And, of course, when I started in this business, it was far different. You had somebody.
It was a major production.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing, Dave, that's changed so much is that in order to, like when we went to the Super Bowl in the past or when I was doing the Red Sox, you needed a truck with a satellite dish that would send a satellite signal into space and back down to your station, and it was a very costly thing. You had to help rent, you know, normally three or four stations would go in on renting the truck, and then the satellite time cost something. Now we have something called a backpack, and it's the size of a backpack, and it uses cell phone lines. So we can go at the Super Bowl, we had this backpack wherever we went, and it needed, as long as you had four or five cell phone lines that would load up, it would send a signal right through the cell phones right back to the station, all in HD. Now you'll notice that sometimes there's a little bit of a delay when they throw to someone. That's the delay in the cell phone transmission. Sometimes it can be 3 seconds, sometimes it might be 10. So in other words, they have to cue me 10 seconds earlier for me to line up with the anchors throwing it to me.
Right. Yeah.
So if
they
don't get it quite right, then we've got a little bit of an issue there.
Yeah. You see that sometimes when they're talking to London, too, which is another thing.
All the time. It's very annoying to me.
Yeah, they say it, and then they're just looking at you.
And the people are looking, like, and you tell, you can see they're listening. Yeah, they're not, and then they're like, oh, yes, yes, and they turn on. You know
what's the worst? Ken, you'll love this, speaking of that. I just did an interview with two people who wrote a book, my friend John Land, who you may know, he's a Rhode Island author.
I know that name.
Yeah,
absolutely.
and he's name above the title author, you know, and Heather Graham, who is another author, bestseller, and they collaborated on a book. So I had them on the air, and I asked Heather a question, and it was about a two beat, and she started to answer, and I thought, well, this woman likes to think about her answers, right? So then I said something, and then I made a joke, or attempted to make a joke. Nothing, right? Dead silence.
Oh,
I thought, and then a two beat, and I hear the laugh, and I realize that they're getting my audio a beat and a half off from what I'm, you know, from the original.
So that can happen in audio also.
Well, yeah. Well, what happened is John, in order, he called me, and then he conferenced her in on his phone, and for some reason they were both getting my audio a beat and a half at late. So here I would say something, thinking I'm being, you know, making a joke, and no laugh. And now I thought I had offended them, right?
Right.
And then
exactly.
after dead silence, then they laugh. And that now is. Oh man, it was horrible.
Right.
And yeah, so what I started doing was saying, so what do you think, John? And I'm filling the 2 seconds. Yeah, we got to take a break. Speaking of seconds, we're talking with Ken Bell, sports director at Channel 6. Like, I got to tell you who he is. And we're going to talk about some of the old days and some of the other stuff that and his future, which he hasn't heard yet. And but as soon as we find out the deal, we'll let you know. And at 11 o'clock this morning, or maybe a little before, we have Guido coming in from Guido and the Doo-Wop, so you stay tuned. You're listening to Kane and Company here on WARA.
We're having a pipe organ concert at the Murray Universalist Church on February 19th at 2 o'clock p.m. The concert will feature several musicians, including organists Janice Waterman and David Burnham, soprano Sarah Michael Smith, and baritone Gary Thies. Organists will be playing Murray Universalist Church's 1882 Hook and Hastings pipe organ. This concert is free and open to the public and will be followed by a reception. For more information about this concert and future Chaminade Music Club performances, visit chaminademusicclub.org.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one. Even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Asian's Garage has been an established member of the community since 1919 and is a proud sponsor of Kane and Company. Asian's has serviced North Attleboro and surrounding areas for close to a century, taking care of all your automotive needs. Located at 321 North Washington Street in North Attleboro, this third-generation community business is also the area's official AAA representative. For more information, visit their website at www.asiansgarage.com or call 508-695-6561.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady, oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
All right, who listens to radio? Ken Bell on the air with us from Channel 6, and we're talking about, well, he was telling me off the air how good he was at editing audio tape.
I got a job at the local, I couldn't play sports as I was growing up. After Little League, I had a curvature spine.
Oh, yeah?
And so I found out when I went out for the football team and started to have some back pain.
Oh.
And so I thought, how on earth am I ever going to be a part of something I love so much? Mm. And I started to be the water boy. And then in high school, the University of Colorado trainer came down, and I was in the training room, so he helped instruct me on how to tape ankles and knees and how to take care of injuries. So I ended up going to work in his training room, had a scholarship, training scholarship, traveled with the University of Colorado football team and basketball, and that was really a wonderful experience for me, helped pay for my college. I was a kid that used to sit in the back of the class and never raise my hand. I was scared to death to say anything.
Yeah.
In eighth grade, grade, our school district decided that everyone had to take a speech course, and I thought, that's it, I'm going to die in front of all my friends.
Well, you know, the number one fear in America is public speaking.
You're right.
And yes. Number two is death. So when people say, I'd rather die than go up there, they really mean it.
Well, when I gave my first speech, I sat down, and I was a nervous wreck, but I sat down, and about a minute later, I said, you dummy. I said, this wasn't anywhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be. And actually, it unlocked some hidden talent that I didn't know I had. And so I started to be in speech meets, and I started to dream about radio, and I hung around the local radio station.
I was wondering where that came, where your broadcast chops came from, yeah.
I kind of, that was a good lesson in life, because many times we fear something and we don't try it, and the fear keeps us from growing.
Mm-hmm.
It
yes.
keeps us from
well
discovering
said.
Things about ourselves.
Yep.
And, you know, I've always, when I talk with schools, I say, you know, walk through the fear, try it, and you'll discover, first of all, that you might have a talent there that you never knew existed.
Sure.
And might unlock something that just might serve you the rest of your life, like happened to me in eighth grade. So it was a wonderful
and that was
thing.
Great, you know, of course, and I could, you know, go along with that. All of my life, I've had a talent that nobody thinks exists. I thought I did, but I guess not, because everybody pretty much thinks, forget about that.
You have a tremendous sense of humor, which served you well over all these years.
Yeah, you got to get
sure.
through it, right? And yeah. And so now tell me, Ken, now, when you're doing all of this stuff, and who's the other guy that you got on your team?
Nick Coit has
Nick
been
Coit,
with me
yep.
now for 3 years.
Okay.
Matt Blanchett before that. Don Coyne was the one you may know.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
He
yep.
was with me for a
yep.
long time. Great yep. guy.
Now, you were at six. Oh, you've been at six for years, but I mean, you were at six when I was doing, I was the filling guy for Dialing for Dollars. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And didn't you love George Allen? I mean,
yeah,
George,
absolutely.
There was never a stranger for George. And you know, when you always wanted to be in the parade with George, because everybody knew George.
Yeah, exactly. Except that I made him nervous.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding?
Because
oh, yeah.
You were breathing
yeah.
down his neck.
No, no. But they came up with this idea one time. You probably don't remember. This is back. I don't know when the hell it was. I think in the 70s, probably, was when we were going to run, they were going to run a 3D, a gorilla movie in 3D on television. Do you remember this? They used to
I
do.
I can only imagine that yeah. Channel 6 came up with this.
Yeah,
idea.
So they were going to, it was some movie, gorilla movie, and I forget what it was now, but it was a 3D movie. And it was a special Dialing for Dollars on a Saturday night. So George was going to host it, and they were trying to think of what to do with it, and they talked to me about it. So what I did was I gave them the idea of – I stole the Soupy Sales idea. Remember Soupy Sales used to have the furry hand that used to come in from
yeah.
off camera?
Yeah.
And it, you know. So I said, we're going to do that. So they said, okay. So I wrote a bunch of little pieces to do while George was – so they would come out of the spot. They would come out into the spot, and George would welcome everybody, and he would say, okay, we're going to make our first call, da, da, da. And it, just before the end of the segment, my hairy arm would come in,
no.
And I would go, George, I love you, George. And it was hysterical, and he was frightened for the whole thing. He was sweating. I never saw him sweat like this. And at one point, he was all dressed. He had the suit and the tie and the matching handkerchief.
Right.
And I pulled the handkerchief out, took it off camera, and went, and then I put it back in his pocket, you know, stuff
that
like that.
To be hilarious.
Oh, it was. Well, I thought it was hysterical. He looked like he was going to pass out. Now I'm going to tell you one quick other George Allen story, and
yes.
And I hadn't planned on telling this. I think I don't know if I've ever told this on the air. You know, I filled in for George, and I filled in for Gary DeGrade.
Yeah, Gary did a great job with
yep,
that, too.
He did.
And that was an extremely popular program.
Everybody watched that program.
Everybody did.
And then they gave me my own Saturday and Sunday Dialing for Dollars.
Really?
Yep. And
they
so
did
I
it on the weekend.
On the weekend, yeah. No, I think it was just Saturday. Excuse me. Just Saturday Dialing for Dollars. So, okay. So, anyway. So, I filled in for George. And so, now when George passed away, people were saying to me, oh, you're going to go fill in for him and all this stuff, maybe, you know, on the casket or in the casket, you know, insensitive jokes.
Yeah, right.
Not that I would ever say one, you know me, Ken.
I absolutely.
Yeah, right. But I swear to you this is true. When I went to the wake and I had a coat on, I had an overcoat on, and I walked in, and George is, you know, laid out in the casket. And instead of a suit and tie, which I was surprised, they had a shirt and a sweater on him, like a V-neck sweater.
He loved sweaters.
Do you remember?
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I took my jacket off when I walked in because we were going to stay a while. I took off my jacket.
Did you have a sweater and a shirt on?
I had an identical sweater and shirt.
That's amazing.
To him. And when I looked at it, oh, the blood drained out of my face.
Yeah, right.
I thought, they're going to think I did this on purpose. Because, you know, nobody's going to believe that Kane didn't do this on purpose.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
And so I put my coat back on. Because, I mean, it was this funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Because he started wearing sweaters later. But initially it was all ties. And when I did the weekend one, do you remember Charlotte Hall? She was the program director then.
I don't remember.
Don't remember? Okay, so she was the PD, and we had talked, and I had done the weekend stuff with sweater and shirt because it was the weekend.
Yes.
And then later on, after I left, he ended up doing sweaters thing. But anyway, that was so here I was, the filling guy, and I showed up dressed like he was.
You know, it was interesting at his funeral. I attended his funeral, and it was nice to see some of the faces, some of the old photographers and some of the people. George had so many friends in the business.
He worked with everybody, sure.
He was.
Yep. Yep.
Just a pleasant person, wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, really and terrific guy.
I wanted to thank you, Dave, for your leadership on the Station Nightclub Fire Memorial. Our church has donated a brick.
Oh,
we
great.
We wanted to be a part of that, but I thank you for just advocating for that through the years, and I know how painful this whole thing has been for you, but you've been a great voice when other people didn't have the voice to be able to say something.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that because we won't belabor this, but this is, when you learned about public speaking and you got into this and you wanted to be on radio and television, and when I was a kid, I mean, I've been in this business since I'm 14.
I can't believe that. That's incredible.
And wanting to do that. And all the time I thought I was being trained to be, you know, I don't know, John Imus or something. You know, I thought, well, this is. And then one night my wife and I were taking a walk and she said to me, don't you realize that you were being trained to do this work right now?
A lot of wisdom there.
To talk about, because I had spoken with elected officials, I had dealt with law enforcement, I had talked to high-end people. A lot of the people involved in this fire, that was not their venue.
That's right.
And they had nobody to speak for them, and then I realized that's how I got to be the big mouth on that one.
Well, and it was fortunate because others who were not able to do that, it very easily could have slipped by the wayside. And you kept the attention on it. You were a reasonable voice with it. You were good a perfect person for the media to talk to.
Well, they were terrific for me. Yeah, I mean, but because I knew they needed, I was able to talk on sound bites for them.
Yes.
I was able to give them stuff they could take right away.
Right, exactly.
And I know that helped me with them. And they were very supportive. You guys all were very supportive, of course. They were all in jump, but it was just really cool.
Well, I'm a strong man of faith, and I believe that God prepares us in advance for things that we're to do, and oftentimes it's a surprise, but then we realize, oh, we've been given this opportunity through our lives to build the experience to come to this point to be able to deliver what needs to be said or what needs to be done.
Indeed.
And we're very thankful for that because it's helped us to get things done. And let's talk a little bit about your guy of faith, your church. You're married?
Actually divorced.
Okay.
Divorced in 1996. This is, as you know, it's a tough business.
Yep.
Security is, you're kind of living in 2 and 3 year increments. And so that's not for everyone either because you get contracts that keep coming up, and so you don't know if you're staying or if your lifestyle is going to change and so forth. And then the hours, you know, you're working nights.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. Yep.
A few things at play there. But I'm a deacon, head chairman of the deacons at my church, and have been for about 15 years.
What church is that?
It's Christ Church in East Greenwich. It's at the turnoff to Goddard Park on Post Road.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have something called the Care Center, which opens its doors to people on Fridays that I work with, and a group of great volunteers. And we try to help the church provide some resources for rent, utilities, and food, and that kind of thing. And, you know, I work in the toy department. Sports at television is the toy department.
That's for sure.
And so this kind of keeps me grounded and provides some balance in my life because, you know, life is hard for all of us. Life is hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really meant to help encourage each other. And so that's kind of my heartbeat is to, if I can encourage someone with word or with deed, mm-hmm. That kind of floats my boat.
Oh, great. Now, tell me about how about your family. You got kids?
I have two children, and the grandchildren are coming. They're popping out. My son is 30, and he just had his second child, so I have a two-year-old and a newborn with him, two boys. Then my daughter is a teacher in the East Greenwich School District. She's fourth grade. And her husband, my son-in-law, is a counselor with a private practice. He was a school teacher, laid off, so he went into counseling and counsels a lot of adolescents, which he's had a lot of success. So I have a three-year-old granddaughter there, and one to be born in April. So we're I don't know if you have grandchildren, but it's actually the greatest thing.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than
Everything is new and exciting and fresh with them, you know. And so when you grow kind of stale, as you grow older, it's like everything's new again.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You have to explain everything, and you know, and then have somebody explain it to you, which is the best part. You know?
Well, so I wanted to get a gift for my granddaughter, and I thought, what do I get her? So I got her a Barbie. Well, the Barbie, as I went there, you had to buy two Barbies, and I said, how am I going to explain this? Two Barbies looking exactly the same. And then I thought it hit me. Twins!
Ah,
the two are twins. So I gave her the Barbies, and then be careful what you give them.